actual examples of leading businesses that have been able to balance multiple purposes, including pursuing financial, but not have that overshadow everything else.
Well, this is a very, very important work. We brought you on the program. You have done exactly what we hoped. And I hope people read the book and understand that you and your work are part of a growing recognition that has to grow a good bit further so that the lip service given to the urgency of the climate catastrophes that we face results in real changes in every arena that we can find. Thank you very much for sharing your work, for producing this book. And to my audience, this is something that is beginning to gel, this cooperative movement. And that's part of what we are. And I invite you to be with us again next week when we will continue looking at these kinds of questions. This is Richard Wolff. Looking forward to speaking with you again next week.
Economic Update with Richard Wolff, heard Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. right after the WBAI Evening News. Stay tuned for Off the Hook. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. It is 7 p.m.
Hello, you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. It's 7 o'clock. It's a Wednesday night. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Only live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Monday, leave no!
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this delightful Wednesday evening, joined by Kyle.
Yes, I'm over here.
Oh, you moved. Okay. Welcome.
Yeah, still.
I see in Skype land, I see we have Alex.
Good evening, everybody.
And I see Gila.
Hello.
Yeah, I called on you first this time. Usually I put Rob first. And Rob. Next
Hello.
To you. How you doing?
Good evening.
Yeah, well, a mad scramble as always to get on the air, but we did it. We did it. And we have a lot of things to discuss tonight, a lot of fun things, I think. In fact, I think that we have earned this. That, of course, being the victory march from Ben-Hur, which is played anytime something is accomplished. And here at WBAI, I believe we have accomplished something. Over the past few years, maybe even decades, you may have noticed that we have been scrambling to survive. And in fact, as recently as a couple of years ago, we had commandos storm into the radio station and kick the doors in and intimidate people and replace all the programming. I might be exaggerating that a little bit, but that's basically what happened. And you remember that, right, guys? I'm not just making that up.
Oh, yeah, that definitely happened.
That happened. And at the time, it was reported in all the papers and all the TV stations, all the radio, other radio stations, that WBAI was done. It was history. And financial situation was dire. And that was before COVID even hit. So it's been rough. It's been really rough. But I'm happy to say that for the first time in a long, long time, WBAI actually is in the black. And not only that, we are looking to pay the transmitter bill for the next year, 2022. And we are doing that by having this massive fundraiser in the last few days of December, where we need to raise $250,000 in order to pay the transmitter bill for the next year. Now, think about that. Think of where we are now as compared to where we were a couple of years ago, where we were scrambling just to survive, and we had all kinds of debt and all kinds of really dire situations facing us. And now we're talking about paying off a bill in advance so that we can get back to work and not have to worry about this kind of thing constantly. So we are encouraging people to pledge by calling 212-209-2950 and pledging whatever you can afford, which will definitely help us out. You can become a BAI buddy and pledge every month. You can go to WBAI's website, give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. What do you guys think? Is it amazing, surprising? I always knew we could do it.
It's fabulous. I will say that in my, I don't know, off radio life, I do work in nonprofit development and fundraising. So the fact that we as a station are in this position right now is amazing, with the understanding that everyone is raising funds right now. I know that everyone since Giving Tuesday, since before Giving Tuesday, everyone who's got an email address has been absolutely bombarded with requests for support. But with that said, we really hope that you're willing to donate to the Tower Fund, because the quicker we can do this, the less we have to bug you for money next year, which is amazing. And the less we have to bug you for money, the fewer times we get preempted during the year. Everybody wins. We stay on the air. We get to talk to you more frequently. So if you have a moment, please visit towerfund.wbai.org and give until it hurts.
Wait, that works? Towerfund.wbai.org. I haven't actually visited that yet. Okay, that's great. So it's all there in front of you. You know, when I think about where we were only a couple of years ago, we were on the Empire State Building. We weren't threatening to jump, but it was close. Our transmitter was on the Empire State Building, and we were paying a fantastic amount, and not the good kind of fantastic. I think it was something like over $50,000 a month just to be on there. And we could not survive that kind of a challenge, and we could not keep up with the spiraling rent that the people at Empire were charging us. Fortunately, we found a much better home, 4 Times Square. And that saved us. That really saved us. And we have done good. We have fulfilled the promise and are being responsible. You may have noticed there are less of these shows where we're constantly fundraising. We get preempted every now and then, but we're able to do what we want to do on WBAI, which is a radio show about technology. Now, this is an exception, obviously, because we're going to spend a few minutes just trying to get people enthused about this so that they call in and support the notion of us moving forward rather than falling behind. And also just recognize that we got here because of you, because of listeners, because of the belief in us that you have. And that's why 99.5 FM still exists in New York City and is broadcasting to the tri-state area. Nobody would have predicted this outside of a few people like us. But back in, what was it? It was 2018 that the coup happened? Yeah.
It was 2019.
Was that 2019?
It was. Mm-hmm.
Only 2 years ago.
It was
ago.
The end of October 2019.
My goodness. Okay. You know, the writing seemed to be on the wall then. And fortunately, it wasn't made by a permanent marker. And we erased it, and now there's new writing on the wall. So please, join everybody who has called in so far and shown support over the past couple of weeks and until the end of the month. We can raise $250,000. It sounds daunting, but let me explain how it works. If somebody pledges $100 and we talk about that and we say, hey, someone pledged $100. Maybe you can pledge $100 too, and three more people do. That's $400 right there. We're one show. And you multiply that by the hours of the day, inside of a few weeks, yeah, you've raised $250,000 because there are so many people who listen to WBAI and who care. And this goes not only for New York City, it goes throughout the entire world. And if you're listening on WBAI.org, if you're listening to Off the Hook in the future, you can still call 212-209-2950 and pledge whatever you can afford. You can still go to give to WBAI.org. And pick a premium. Pick something that will say thank you. And not only do you get satisfaction of supporting the largest non-commercial radio station, community radio station, true community radio station in New York City or anywhere close to New York City, but you will also get a gift from us. And that's a reminder of the cool person you are.
And all these contributions are tax deductible?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're nonprofit, so yes.
If you're doing end-of-year giving, this is a great opportunity to make that contribution to a worthy cause.
Yeah, if your kids and relatives are a bunch of ingrates that you know, you don't really want to go shopping for, hey, here at WBAI, we're anything but ingrates, okay? We are there for you 24/7 with all kinds of content, and you can be a part of it. You can vote. You can take part in call-in shows. You know, you could even get your own show, probably, if you really devote yourself to it. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, that's great. Our, as you said, our tower rent used to be over $50,000 a month over at Empire State, and that was nuts. We could not keep up with that. We fell behind in that. But we are at a much better place right now, but we still pay a lot of rent. We are a radio station right in the sweet spot of the FM dial in one of the biggest radio markets in the country, if not the biggest, and that costs a lot. So we do pay about $17,000 a month just for this transmitter, just to keep our equipment on the air and be able to broadcast to you, because that's our job. We're a radio station. And if we can't do that, then what are we doing? And yeah, that's well over $200,000 a year. And if as much of that as we could prepay for the next coming year, that would be so amazing for us. So if you go to towerfund.wbai.org, you could see our special campaign page just for the Tower Fund, or you could call 212-209-2950 and share what you can to help keep us doing what we're doing.
And, you know, if I could just share a little bit of dirty laundry here, because I'm told I can share this. Back in the day, back around 2000 or so, when we moved to Wall Street, okay, there was a lot of unrealistic expectations then. A, that we should be on Wall Street with this mega office complex that had spiraling rent costs as well, but also on the Empire State Building, we had the deal was worked out by our the Pacifica Network that actually owns this and four other radio stations throughout the country, rather than locally. And in so doing, they inadvertently, I don't think it was on purpose, but inadvertently signed a really bad deal. You know, one that the people at WBAI, I don't think, would have agreed to, because it allowed for what's known as an elevator clause, where the rent went up by a certain percentage every year. And if you look at a piece of paper, you could see that there's no way we could afford that after a few years. And that's what happened with Empire State. Anybody could have seen it coming, and it happened, and it was very unpleasant. And it could have gone a lot worse. We're not even talking about the coup from a couple of years ago. We're talking about the debt to Empire State Building. That could have gone a lot worse. They could have shut us down. They probably could have come in and taken over the station. Who knows? Fortunately, that didn't happen. All kinds of dire circumstances we're able to avoid. So now we're in a position where, as Rob said, we're paying closer to $17,000 a month. And Pacifica did not make the same mistake. WBAI made the deal locally, and it's a good deal, and we're happy with it. We're happy where we are. And now we can get back to what WBAI was founded for back in 1960. And I want people to congratulate themselves for helping us to get there, because that is an incredible accomplishment. You won't see it in the newspapers. You won't hear about it on TV and on the other radio stations. They like to report when it's all doom and gloom. And when the coup happened, they were all there. We were on all the stations. It was kind of cool seeing WBAI being reported like that.
These retrospectives just came out of nowhere, so excitedly telling the story of the station, giving all kinds of real estate in their publications for this.
But then
demise.
We went to court and we won in court. We got the station back from those bastards over on the West Coast. Well, you know, I'm not gonna get into specifics. There are a lot of good people that helped us from all different fronts, and we won. We got it back. They didn't report that, but it doesn't matter because we're here, and we're here because of you. Please keep us here. And now that we have rounded a corner, let's accelerate. Let's make it better, because stations like WBAI are so needed in this day and age. 212-209-2950. Give to WBAI.org. You can pledge any amount. You can become a BAI buddy. The people on the phone will be happy to guide you through that. There are premiums of all sorts. And also, spread the word about WBAI. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody you can think of. And listen to the station at different times, because who knows what you'll hear. You'll hear programs you didn't know about. I'll hear programs I didn't know about, because there's times I don't listen to the radio. We have the archives on WBAI.org, where you can listen to shows at other times too, so you don't have to change your schedule. It's really an incredible place, and you can go up and down the dial, and then you can switch over to AM and go up and down that dial. You won't find anything like WBAI. And that's a sad state of affairs. You know, Kyle and I recently traveled across the country. There are no stations like WBAI. The most you can hope for is an NPR repeater. And that's it, with very little community involvement. Here, we're local. We are live right now. It's 4:42 on July 17th. That proves that we're live. No, I'm kidding. It's actually 7:16 p.m. on December 15th, 2021. Yeah. I thought I was. No. 212-209-2950. Give to WBAI.org. We are going to get into our show, but I'm going to open it up for any last words on this.
All I was going to say is that there are no supply chain issues. There's no wait. If you make a gift to WBAI in someone's name, you can do it, and you can send them a card and say, a gift has been made in your honor to the WBAI Tower Fund. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And I think if you're still looking to get someone a gift for the winter solstice or any other occasion that is coming up this month, I think a gift in someone's name to the WBAI Tower Fund, keep the airwaves moving. I think it's a really wonderful opportunity to take advantage of. Visit towerfund.wbai.org to learn more.
Yeah. Also, you know, you just gave me an idea, Gayla. The fact that you can make a gift in someone else's name. Picture somebody who maybe is not quite on board with the various things that we talk about on this station. The right, you know, right of free speech, freedom of choice, pro-choice. All sorts of other things, you know, that nasty uncle you see once a year. Maybe make a donation in their name. I don't know. That's nasty. But you know what? I can be nasty when necessary. Rob, go ahead.
It's the good kind of nasty. And yeah, as I often like to remind our listeners, and we really have to say a big thank you to everyone who got us to this point. That really bears recognizing that without you listening to this, we would not have gone to such a place where we could even be thinking about the future instead of digging us out of old holes. And that is thanks to you. That is the only thing that has kept this station running since 1960. And, you know, we don't have commercials. We don't get paid by anybody to tell you what brand of sodas to drink or anything like that. All we do here is make radio, the best radio we can, and we make it for you. And no one tells us what to do or what we can't talk about, because we are powered directly by our listeners. This is a product of the listeners, and you can be one of those listeners if you go to towerfund.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 and help us out and throw in your bit and be part of what goes on here at WBAI.
Alex?
I echo all of the sentiments of all of you gentlemen and gentle ladies as well. And you know, I'm very excited about the idea of WBAI being in the black. I mean, this is a great moment. I think it was worthy of the Ben-Hur anthem.
We don't do that lightly. You know, that's something
it's
earned. It's not something we just throw around. So that victory march, that's something to savor. And I can't remember the last time we ever did that.
And I just want to say one quick thing, which is thank you to all of the listeners that have supported WBAI over the several decades that I've been hanging around this crazy place.
And I want to thank the people who are calling right now, 212-209-2950, and pledging whatever they can afford, making those gifts, and keeping WBAI strong, making us even stronger. Wow. Good day. So now... shifting gears a little bit, still something rather triumphant out of chaos and misery. We were in dire shape ourselves a few years ago, a couple of years ago even, with both the impending loss of the Hotel Pennsylvania for the Hope Conference, not because it was about to be destroyed, as supposedly it will be next month. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But because they were raising their prices to a point that we could not possibly afford if we were going to keep the Hope Conference as something that people could afford to attend. Yeah, you know, they have conferences that cost thousands of dollars to attend that last a couple of days, corporate conferences where the company pays, and it's not for individual people. We never want to do something like that. That's not who we are. We were at a loss trying to find a place to have the conference. Without Hotel Pennsylvania, there really didn't seem to be any other place. But then we started getting suggestions from attendees, from listeners, from readers, and we did some investigation, a lot of research, and we found what we believe to be a new home at St. John's University, which is where we planned for Hope 2020 to be. Of course, that didn't happen because of the pandemic, but 2022, it will happen. Now, I realize everybody who is here right now, Alex, Rob, Gila, Kyle, myself, we all visited the site a few days ago just to check in, make some plans, and we had a whole bunch of other people joining us too, coordinators of various committees at the conference. And I know a couple of you have seen the place for the first time. I got to say for myself, I'm just absolutely thrilled with the potential here, what we can do, We basically will be announcing all kinds of things, and I guess within the next month or so, including ticket sales, a call for participation, all kinds of other ways that people can become involved, and just new ideas, because this is a space where there is just so much more potential than there was in the confines of a hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Yes, it's not in Midtown Manhattan. It's in Queens, but it's easy to get to. There's so much happening there and around the site. It's a new chapter for us, and that's why we're calling it A New Hope, because this is something historic, and we hope that that people from all over will be a part of that, will help us build something incredibly different and unique. I don't know. I guess I'll leave it to people who have seen the place for the first time. Maybe you have some perspective.
Yeah, it was my first time going to see this place. I was not in the group that was starting to explore last time around. So when I went along this time, I was really pleasantly surprised. I didn't know what we were getting into. I had heard a little bit from folks who had been there. Just the sheer scope of the things we can do, the infrastructure that is there. It is a university. They have networking. We don't have to sort of jerry-rig things as we got used to doing at the hotel. The stuff that's there for us to use, the space that's there for us to use, and the people there. We cannot oversell the how wonderful these people are being to us. The staff there just seem really, really interested in what we're doing, really excited about how they can help us do what we're doing. And it seems like a really, really good situation. There is just so much potential. It's going to be different from Hotel Pennsylvania. It's definitely going to be different, and there's going to be a lot of things that we're figuring out as we go along. But, you know, that's all hope ever was, is a great big, you know, sort of wacky project that all of us have been figuring out as we went along for the last, you know, couple of decades. And this is going to be a lot of fun.
I was not there for the first time when we went to visit. I had been there before. But one thing that I really enjoyed was getting to see the spaces we're going to be in. And the thing is, it's a university. This is the middle of December. They're in finals right now. So the energy was not entirely dissimilar to what Hope is like. There are a lot of people who are really, really seriously focused on one very specific thing.
Hang on. You just compared our conference to final exams? Wow. Because I still have nightmares about final exams from college.
Me too. And we walked past a group of students who were preparing for a final. I saw their notes. I began to panic because I didn't understand any of them. I knew I was going to fail that final, so I'm glad we got out of the room when we did. But I think there's also a lot to be said for the excitement of being in this place and seeing people in these spaces, because the last time we went to visit, we saw a lot of empty spaces, which was great. But seeing the people in the spaces where we're going to be, having a mental picture of what this is going to look like, of all these amazing opportunities we're going to have. And absolutely, the infrastructure that is in place there is going to give us a huge leg up. And yeah, things are going to be different because they have to be. By definition, they have to be different. But I think the opportunities that we have working in this new space, I'm so incredibly excited.
Go ahead, Alex.
I thought this is going to be great. There's so much potential. It's so easy to get to. Driving there is easy. Taking the bus there is easy. Getting to the, getting to St. John's via the subway was easy. But, you know, more than anything else, and building on what Gila was saying with respect to this being a university, it just felt particularly appropriate to be in a place that's a center of learning, that's going to be the situs of hope. Hope is all about learning and sharing, and that's the kind of atmosphere where I think we're really going to flourish. And you know, we talked a lot about Hotel Pennsylvania and it being, you know, not in the best shape, being a little bit run down, and that being part of its charm. On the other hand, I have to say St. John's facilities and where we're going to be in particular are absolutely stunning. They're fantastic. They're new. They're up to date. And we're going to have so much space, not only for vendors, for hanging out, but what I thought was particularly promising is the fact that we're going to have a whole bunch of classrooms, and we don't even know exactly what we're going to do with all this space just yet. And that's why this goes back to the fact that there being so much potential. And not only every one of these classrooms, I mean, it's different from when we went to school because, you know, we're not old by any means, but certainly we didn't have.
Yeah, we are. You know, we are old.
Well, I guess, you know, maybe that is the case. I just refuse to accept it or acknowledge it, but I certainly do feel it. But every single desk has got an outlet and power to it. It's very, very cool.
What I could have done with that in school, with an outlet by my desk.
Oh, man. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would have been brownouts all around Stony Brook.
Uh-huh. But, you know, what you say about classrooms, yeah, you know, think of them as spaces for all kinds of different projects and workshops and things that we haven't had the space to be able to do before. It's going to be a lot more exciting than just a classroom. It's going to be, a unique space, a different community. And I see this as a lot closer to some of the European conferences we've been to, where they just seem to go on endlessly. And the thing is, you know, we have the ability to make it even bigger the next time too. I think this time it'll be big, but there's so much space on this campus, both inside and outside. And that's, you know, what we do with it this time, I think, will be the defining factor, you know, as to what the true potential is. You have something else, Alex?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic about it. I think we're on the right track to get back there in person. You know, who knows? Maybe we could even host some final exams there.
Oh, boy.
In some of those classrooms for Gila.
There will probably be radio exams. So part of workshops and the ham radio certification that we've done in the past, there's those kinds of considerations. It is a lot of spreading out and new dynamic spaces that we've never really utilized before. So it is going to take a considerable amount of coordination and creativity. And I think the group and the excitement we had at the hotel and of course, last time we created talks and stuff for people to stream. We'll be able to come at this with the same spirit, but all kinds of differences and changes that are really, really exciting. And so I'm glad to hear everyone's reaction, because that's part of why this scouting it and experiencing it and sharing it with people has been necessary, because it's unfamiliar. Whereas with the hotel, I think a lot of volunteers might be able to do it with their eyes closed or something.
Yeah, you know, I should point out that it is an expansion, so we are going to need so many more people to help in various ways, both with their ideas, their skills, their time, to make this work. And I think we can really do that and start a new chapter in the hacker world where we have this really positive event taking place locally. So I'm very much looking forward to that. We're going to have more information on accommodations, both off campus and on campus, and so many things. But it's all manageable and doable, and I think it's going to be a thrilling time. Go ahead, Gila.
The other thing I was going to say is that yes, there's a lot to be done. It's really exciting. Looking forward to all of Hope. I'm very excited. However, I honestly think that one of the most exciting parts about the site visit on Monday was getting to see you guys again.
That's
as much
right.
As we spend time together on this Skype call every week, having the opportunity to actually be in the same physical space as you guys. Like, I got to hug you guys for the first time in a really long time, and that might be my favorite part of Hope.
30
Honestly.
Seconds, 30 seconds. I think 45 seconds. It was hard to let go, but first time in so long. And not only us, but a lot of other people traveled from much further to be there. Our coordinator, Greg Newby, came from the Yukon. He actually traveled from the Yukon to be there. That's how important this is. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. July 22nd through 24th is the date of the conference, St. John's University, here in New York, in Queens. It's going to be awesome, as we alluded to, easy to get to by car. And what that means is it's accessible by the airports in ways that you have to fight all kinds of things to get to Manhattan from JFK or LaGuardia. It's a 10-minute drive, I think, from either one of those. So it's very conveniently located for people who are traveling. For those who are already in New York, it's still easy to get to. It's not in Midtown Manhattan, but that is a plus as far as the things that we want to be able to do. Alex?
Yeah, and one other selling point of this, I think we all noticed, was that from one of the main buildings where Hope is going to be situated, you do have this lovely view of the entire skyline of Manhattan, which you don't get when you're in Manhattan. I mean, look, you're a little farther out. You can't throw a stone or a rock and hit the city, but it is a pretty gorgeous view, and I'm very excited for our Hope participants to get to explore another borough of Manhattan.
And you also get trees and fields and things like that, which you don't get by the hotel. Go ahead, Gila.
There are trees, there are fields. When you're outside at night, you will be able to see stars, because that is a cool thing you can do in Queens. I will also say, having lived in Queens the entire time I've lived in New York City, I'm definitely a Queens fan, and would like to remind everyone that Queens County is the most ethnically diverse county in the country. You were guaranteed to see something, learn something new and exciting just by coming and adventuring around in the neighborhood. It's going to be great.
One thing we did that we hadn't done before is explore some of the food options off campus. And we were very happy with what we found within a block of the university. So that's great. You know, we're learning more every time we see the place as well. So with a couple of thousand people.
Way. You know, we didn't go the other way up the street.
That's
There's
true.
Plenty more that we didn't see yet.
That's very true.
Carl. Yeah, and so I guess what we're saying here is if all goes according to plan, we hope you will join us in this new space. And we are planning all kinds of activities, both at the event, and we're going to be looking for places and things to do in the neighborhood as well. And just ways to integrate all of the kinds of things we've showcased and shared with people at previous events and getting to know what's available and for volunteers and attendees alike. I think there's going to be some really, really fun stuff that we'll be able to celebrate in person with people.
The website to keep up to date with all this is hope.net. That's for Hackers on Planet Earth. Hope.net has really nothing on it right now, but that's going to change. That's going to change very quickly, and we'll have all kinds of updates and ways that you can get involved, and, of course, calls for participation, ticket information, all of that.
And so over the holidays and in prior to the new year here, as you're celebrating, think of things that you might want to do next year and be ready to share and explore with us what is possible.
Go ahead, Rob.
And there is one other thing that we need to do to ensure that we can do this and do this well. And that's the thing that we have to do to create the world. And I'm going to get really close to my microphone here because this is very important.
Create the world.
We need to create a world in which something like hope can happen. Something like a gathering of people in a physical space can happen. So be sure to have your vaccinations. Take care of yourselves. Take care of those you love. Make sure they get their shots and do what you can to act responsibly and constructively through this period that we're going through and make sure that it doesn't get worse before it's time for us to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not emphasize that more. Well, so that's some good news. And Alex, you have some closing thought on that?
What one closing thought I'd like to leave you guys with was the feedback that my son, my 8-year-old son that I brought to St. John's University for the site visit with you all, that he shared with me as soon as we left. And he said to me, "Daddy, oh my God, can those guys talk? Do they ever stop talking?"
All right. I don't know if that's a positive outlook on it was a yeah. meeting. We had to address a lot of issues. There was a lot of talking. Yes, I know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of planning. I explained that to him.
When it was his turn to talk, I noticed he had a lot to say for what he's coordinating there. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. And but I told him the truth. I said, no, they never stop talking. That's the whole point.
Sometimes you have to talk to stop talking. You know, ask me if I wanted to talk necessarily. You know, it's a game.
That's true.
But it was cool to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. And he is the child coordinator, too, because, you know, there's space to have kids there, and we're going to do all kinds of things with Legos and...
Lego.
What? The plural of Lego is Legos, isn't it?
No, it's Lego.
Really? Who decides that? It's a company.
I don't want to get into that. We have other stuff going on here.
All right. Yeah, we do. And this is the future. Let's focus now on the past. We've done the present with WBAI. We've done the future with Hope. And now let's look at our previous home for Hope, Hotel Pennsylvania. There was a webinar, I guess is the best way to describe it, by the Empire Station Coalition. And that happened, when did that happen? A couple of weeks ago? It was basically a bunch of people that are concerned with what's going on in that region. And there's a massive, massive a plan to destroy lots of buildings and, in my opinion, build a lot of useless office towers while claiming to improve mass transit, claiming to improve Penn Station and things like that. You know, I maintain you can improve Penn Station fine without destroying the history that is around it. And I think there's no better place in the city to know that lesson because of the old Penn Station that was destroyed at that very site in the early 1960s. What I'm going to do is play a little bit of that meeting that took place, just to give you a sense as to the other people that are interested in what's going on there. It's not a hopeless situation. I think there is still something that we can do about it. But let's listen to what these people had to say for a few minutes, and we'll be back right afterwards.
Like Paris or London or Rome or, you know, you name it, right? So on the one hand, that's what strikes me. And what's astounding about what's going on right now with the Hotel Pennsylvania is that the exact same arguments were used. So we have people from Ag Benny on this call. The exact same arguments are being used by Steve Roth and Pernado right now that were used back then. And for all the protesting and having Mr. Johnson there and, you know, eventually getting Jackie Kennedy involved, thank God, to save Grand Central, right? We lost the station because we couldn't influence the process. So the thing I would say is that I think we need to revise the approach. I mean, it's fine to protest, it's fine to call your politicians, it's fine to get your voice out there, it's fine to do whatever. But I was actually looking down the list of the board of directors of Vornado Realty Trust tonight. And I think everyone on this call ought to look down that list and see if they know anyone on that list and call them up and find out if they can get to them or to Steve Roth, who's the chairman, or, you know, buy some shares in Vornado and show up to a shareholder meeting. Because until we can affect Vornado, we won't stop another venal developer from giving us a fifth-rate city. And my call to action is, like, take some action that will actually affect the outcome here. Because otherwise, come January, February, Steve Roth has had a demolition permit for the Hotel Pennsylvania in hand since 2008. And, you know, according to the latest websites, you know, they've cleared out the mattresses, they've cleared out the rooms, they've cleared everything. They're going to start demolition in January or February of next year. And going out there and chaining ourselves to the building and protesting and getting in the New York Times, if we even could do that, won't affect the outcome. So we're going to have to actually go and try to affect the people that have control over this and get them to understand that we do live in the greatest city on earth and it should look like that. And that's really my only point. But thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Really appreciate that. Okay, Sam, I think we're ready to go to the Q&A.
Okay, I think that's right. And the members of the Empire Station Coalition can turn their videos on, and Anne will help direct questions. As I said, we'll take one or two live questions and then take some of the written questions that have been building up as well. And we will try to get to everyone. And if we don't tonight, please keep after us and we will make sure to get to you.
So do we want to start with, we'll start with the first question that was asked quite a while ago. From what I've read and heard, Vornado's big influencing excuse is that they're having financial difficulties and can't afford to restore the white elephants like the Hotel Pennsylvania. So the poor dears have to destroy everything to make a profit to stay aloft. Any comments on that?
Brad?
Yeah, I'd be happy to jump in on that. I think that is, to put it mildly, completely bunk. There are all kinds of examples around the country. If you look at the NTCIC, it's the National Trust Community Investment Corporation. This is a wing of the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and it's focused specifically on using various tax credits to put together a package that can restore large-scale historic buildings and adaptively reuse them. And hotels, I can tell you from my time in New Orleans post-Katrina, are absolutely part of what they focus on. There are many examples in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Baltimore, all over the country. It is about whether the owner decides that they have a will to adaptively reuse a building. That is what makes the decision for the fate of buildings like Hotel Pennsylvania. We unfortunately have a situation where the owner just does not want to go down that path. But it is eminently possible, It is absolutely something that can be done, and there are ways to do it, and there are precedents all around the country.
Thanks, Brad.
I would just say, Joy, I think you asked what's the best argument that would flatten this overinflated excuse, and I would say the Hotel Martinique, which is being funded by Midwestern investors. You know, we should get the same renderer who did that rendering, and the Hotel Pennsylvania could be, and actually Richard did some work a while back with Lonato. It could be a wonderful hotel. Or any number of other uses. And so, but I think the Hotel Martinique, to me, which is a block away on a neighborhood that's growing and improving and maintaining much of the history, albeit there are some taller hotels going in below 30th Street. But they're doing some interesting things over there, and that New York character and feel is a winner.
Can I add something to that?
Go right ahead.
First of all, why is anybody worried about Vornado? They wouldn't know how to do a preservation project if it fell in their lap. They are totally new development oriented. And who cares if what they say? Short of money, give me a break. I'm not interested in them. It's the politicians. It's the governor. Those are the people who need to be targeted. And furthermore, one of the things occurred to me as the presentations went on, one of the most interesting things, and I've referred to this in various points, the most interesting thing happening in the city is the moving into old buildings, often historic buildings, of the biggest tech companies in the country. Amazon, Google, all of them, Apple, there, and this is scaring the daylights out of the new developers, because the real interest in people with people with taste is for existing buildings that have character. You don't see them flocking to Hudson Yards so quickly, but they are moving into Lord and Taylor's. They're moving into all of Chelsea. They're moving into the existing historic buildings, designated or not. Secondly, forget trying to persuade the Landmarks Commission to do anything. They are the worst they have been in years. And they would never touch anything as politically sensitive as this. Go to the places where you can have an impact. And that is clearly on the politicians involved and some of the others. But don't waste your breath on advocating a historic district. That commission now wouldn't know how to declare a historic district in some of the most fundamental districts that we exist. And as far as Vornado is concerned, I wouldn't believe a word they say. And someone in the chat said that the Empire State Development Corporation made a survey of the district that I was referring to. Do you believe their numbers? I have not, in 50 years of covering this city, ever seen a report from a planning agency, state or local, that it was not filled with, if not lies, at least errors. They're going to give you the information they want you to have. It's your own information is the only information you can trust.
Thank you, Roberta.
All right. And that was an excerpt. I could listen to that all night long from the Empire State Coalition. You can find that on YouTube, Empire State Coalition Public Forum. It's public forum number 5, demolishing our cities doesn't make them better. And it's just it kind of shows that there are more people who care about this than we might think. You know, I feel sometimes like we're alone when we bemoan the various injustices that take place, and the demolition, you know, impending demolition of Hotel Pennsylvania is one of them. But there are lots of people who are trying to save not only that structure, but the entire neighborhood. What do we know about the Empire Station Coalition? Rob, do you know something about them? You're muted, Rob.
Sorry about that. Just a small correction. It is the Empire Station Coalition, not the Empire State Coalition. But if you go on YouTube and look up the Empire Station Coalition, you can find their channel. You can see the video that we just played a segment of. If you go to the most recent video as of today's date when we're broadcasting. And they are an interesting organization. They're basically a coalition of lots of smaller community organizations, local history organizations that have all banded together to basically try and get people in power to rethink this this big plan for the Penn Station area. And that voice you heard at the beginning was Richard Cameron, who himself is an architect of renown and an architecture historian. And someone who knows of what he speaks with this stuff. And they're doing work still to try and get this word out and try and get the attention of people who are actually in a position to change what's going on. It's worth keeping an eye on what they do. The Empire Station Coalition. Find them on YouTube.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching that. It's intriguing. I almost was late to the show because I was just so captivated by what they were saying and the intelligence and the measuredness of it all. Yeah, chaining yourself to the hotel probably isn't going to help, but putting pressure on politicians that will. And I really understand what people are saying when they say don't care about Vornado. Why should we care about them? They certainly don't care about us. Yes, Alex.
Yeah, building upon the recording that we just heard, I completely echo the sentiments of the wonderfully wise woman who claimed that the Landmarks Preservation Commission was utterly useful. I will take any opportunity to bash those people. I mean, if you look at what the LPC, the Landmarks Preservation Commission, has been landmarking over the last several years, they have no qualms about landmarking very architecturally unremarkable buildings if they have some kind of cultural or historical significance. That is the definition of Hotel Pennsylvania. I don't know why they've been sitting on their hands. Why can they do nothing? And why did they go for the jugular when it came to the Strand building and the dispute that we had with them? The other thing I want to mention, and I think this is a very good point, which is to go after the politicians that are sitting idly by and letting this happen. Well, the city councilmen in whose district Hotel Pennsylvania resides is none other than Corey Johnson. And Corey Johnson was somebody to whom we sought counsel and hopefully help during our word dispute with the Landmarks Preservation Commission and the Strand. And let me tell you what he did to help us out. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It took about 6 or 7 emails over the course of, I would say, at least a week, even to just get a meeting with this guy. And then he didn't even show up to the meeting. He sent over some members of his staff. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he's sitting around and similarly doing nothing while a absolutely wonderfully historic building is about to be demolished. It's very, very sad. But, hey, give Corey Johnson a call. Ask him what's going on. I think he'd love to hear from you.
And if you follow the links, you know, to these organizations, Empire Station Coalition, did I get it right this time, Rob?
Yes, indeed.
You know, talk to them. Maybe there is hope. Maybe there is something that somebody with connections, somebody that does take an interest in this sort of thing, you know, maybe some super rich person will just buy the hotel and preserve it or restore it, because, you know, having a hotel with over 1,000 rooms in that location is a good thing for the city. There's just no question about that, because those are tourists who are staying here. And to simply demolish it and put up an office tower instead, who does that serve? You know, after the pandemic, many people are not coming into the city to work anymore. They are coming to the city to be tourists, though. And if you have affordable options for those people, there will be more of them. And the entire economy benefits from that. You know, I'm not an economist, but I know that much. I also know something about greed. And those people who have all of this real estate, all of this income, they don't really care about paying taxes. They don't really care about the economies that surround them and that they influence. They care about simply making more and more and more. And this is a sad example of that. It's unfortunate. It's also potential demolition of some real history in New York City. New York City, that's known for its history. The old buildings that are right next to the brand new buildings, that's the magic of New York. And we can't let that be destroyed. You know what? We're almost out of time. So we're going to have to continue our conversation on overtime. How do you get to overtime? You simply go to youtube.com/channel2600, channel 2600. And you can also follow the link that's on the main 2600.com webpage. I know, Kyle, you had one thing to announce? Or
oh, yeah. I got my Christmas card from AT&T.
You did?
Yeah. And it says, we've updated your contract terms. Any account you have with us will be governed by AT&T CSA agreement, including updates to our agreement that we will resolve any disputes by individual arbitration and not by jury trial or class action.
What in hell are you talking about?
If I continue to do business with them, I agree and am bound by their new CSA. And wow. That's great. And this may not be applicable, but I used to use a BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
It's a type of phone.
And I know other people have other types of phones, and this may not... I mean, nobody cares. People with BlackBerries probably don't care anymore, but...
BlackBerry doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, well, one of those services that I would love to sue someone about is just being shut down.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like what we were warning about with radio stations and different technologies. And so anyway, the last vestiges of BlackBerry 10 will be shut down January 4th.
Oh, no. You know, the show has taken kind of a negative turn.
And along with that, there's a couple other shutdowns just in the world of wireless and phones. AT&T is shutting down 3G February 2022. T-Mobile is shutting it down at the end of March.
Let's discuss this on overtime, because we don't have to censor ourselves on overtime, and you can
exert
your passion.
That's a good idea. You're right.
Again, overtime. Overtime beginning at 8 p.m. Just in a few minutes on channel 2600 over on YouTube.com, and please support WBAI. Keep us strong. Help us move into 2022 with renewed strength and paying bills in advance. Imagine that. 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org, and you can go either of those places around the clock. But please show your support, spread the word, and write to us, OTH@2600.com. That's our email address. We'll be back again 7 p.m. on WBAI next week. Again, stay tuned for overtime in a few minutes over on YouTube. Good night. Oh, yeah, and I should probably say rest in peace to Ravi Shakespeare, who we're hearing right now. Probably the greatest bass player ever. And half of Sly and Robbie. Basically played on every reggae song ever made, it seems. Yeah, another sad note. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Massive and expensive equipment marks the professional radio station. But in the amateur field, radio parts often include pieces of assorted junk, ingeniously assembled by operators, and lots of strange radio parts, such as whiskey glasses mounted on a cake tin. Ma's funnel actually becomes a loudspeaker, and her sieve, part of a microphone. Winding a coil becomes comparatively simple when using the family egg beater. All amateurs are heroes of the air at heart and dream of a chance to serve humanity whenever a calamity occurs. And speaking of calamities, well...
Hey there, all our beloved radio listeners. Yes, we're in a bit of a calamity right now with an urgent need here at WBAI to pay our radio tower back rent or cease to broadcast. And here at this radio station, we'd like to continue to serve humanity, but without having to resort to those egg beaters and cake tins in an emergency. So please donate whatever you can by calling in to 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or visiting the Donate to Our Tower Fund at the top of the BAI website page. And Arts Express thanks you.
This is Ralph Pointer. Join me and others every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. It would appear the human movement is such that at any moment in history, there are too few that understand possibilities of existence that would benefit all who inhabit this planet and are willing to act on this understanding. This program will feature that few. What are your views on these issues that impact your life today? What are your views on America today? What are your views on America's future? Can we talk? Call in 212-209-2877. Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial.
And it is 8 p.m. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. Time for that aforementioned program, What's Happening?
Good evening. Tonight is Wednesday, December 15th, 2021, and you are on WBAI 99.5 FM. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. And don't think you can't do something about it. As long as you have a few coins in your pocket, as long as you can pick up a phone and call and protest anything that happens to BAI, you are powerful. Tonight we have a very, very special guest, and I'm going to turn it over to my partner in crime, Brother Ralph Pointer. What's happening?
Well, thank you, Sister Betty. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. We had said we were going to bring you activists. We were going to create a radio station or a radio program that will include listeners, would make you wait each Wednesday to get on. But don't let that stop you. There's wonderful programs on Pacifica, and we're going to stay true to our promise to bring you fantastic programming. And our guest this evening is Oscar Lopez Rivera. And I'm going to allow him to tell his story, and we have a co-host who will help us tell the story, Lawrence Reyes of KPFK in L.A., who's a member of the Pacifica National Board. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce Oscar Lopez Rivera. Oscar, are you with us?
All right, Lawrence, can we ask you to chime in here? Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. And I'd like to encourage our listeners at WVAI, which is the station I came through in 1971, doing the teach-ins about the invasion of Santo Domingo by the U.S. Marines, and WVAI was there. I'd like to encourage you, as I will do later on, I will call back and make a pledge to WVAI to keep us on the air. It is very important that we maintain this medium, this media revolutionary outlet, to inform and refresh and to provide the antidote or the serum for the poison that you hear in the mainstream media. So I'd like to thank Brother Ralph and Sister Betty for having myself and Oscar Lopez Rivera, who is one of my mentors and one of my teachers in regards to the whole issue of decolonization and liberation of the island nation of the archipelago called Puerto Rico, Borinquen Bella. So I don't know what else.
Well,
you like
I
to
am
do.
So pleased. I'm jumping in here because, as I know, you are a former member of the Young Lords. You are someone who has had a long uphill struggle. You were a social worker, a dedicated father, and of course the media activist on Pacifica Fight Back and an anti-racist campaign you led for transparency, accountability, and democracy. So Ralph and Lawrence are in the house to introduce Oscar.
You know, it's an interesting thing while we're waiting for Oscar Lopez Rivera. Okay, Oscar's on, and I'll complete my thought. What makes this such a cohesive program is in 1962, Queen Mother Moore introduced me to the struggle when she says, first you must understand that the black community is no different than all of the colonies, and we are ruled by the same regulations that all colonies are under. And without further ado, here's a gentleman who has fought the fight to decolonize Puerto Rico. Oscar Lopez Rivera, your microphone is open.
Well, I am hoping that I can bring some positive thoughts into this conversation. Puerto Rico has been under the yoke of the United States government for 123 years. We have suffered the pains that very few other people have suffered. From the moment that the United States government arrived in Puerto Rico, the first thing that it did was to show how colonized he wanted, or it wanted, Puerto Rico to be. And it has not stopped. It has never for one moment, the United States government has considered Puerto Rico not to be anything but a colony, its colony, and to exploit Puerto Rico to the maximum. It is a pattern of the United States government to go and take over, dictate to those who are now under its yoke, and to do everything that it can do to, little by little, displace as many of the residents in Puerto Rico as it can do. In 1901, 3 years, or probably less than 3 years, when the United States government had arrived in Puerto Rico, the first thing that he said was that Puerto Rico was overpopulated. And by 1901, he was sending Puerto Ricans to Hawaii and to the southern west states of the United States. That move has not ended. It has never ended, because today there are over 5 million Puerto Ricans residing in the United States, and probably a little bit over 3 million Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico. And the pattern of displacing Puerto Ricans today is more and more intense than it was probably in 1901, because right now the gentrification in Puerto Rico is so advanced that we can see more and more foreigners coming into Puerto Rico, buying land, taking over Puerto Ricans' land, and the land that has been purchased is not coming back for Puerto Ricans. We can go from Rincón all the way to what today they're trying to do is to sell El Yunque, and everything in Puerto Rico that is controlled by foreigners is for sale. As a matter of fact, in 2007, Jan Paulson, when he arrived in Puerto Rico, he said, Puerto Rico is for sale. Just like that. And little by little, you know, he started purchasing more and more property in Puerto Rico. And how many other people like Jan Paulson are in Puerto Rico? What is it that they're doing? Even Bitcoin is in Puerto Rico. Trying to exploit as much as they can to make sure that Puerto Ricans will not be in Puerto Rico for much longer. And if we want to look at it, all we have to do is look at the gentrification that is taking place in Puerto Rico. It is the most painful sight that a Puerto Rican who loves Puerto Rico can see.
Well,
places like in El San Juan are incredible in the hands of foreigners. Every part of Puerto Rico today, especially around the coast of Puerto Rico, we are seeing more and more and more foreigners taking over.
Well, Oscar, let me interject here. One of the reasons we asked you to come on was not so long ago, Naomi Klein wrote a book called Disaster Capitalism. And I was telling people that Puerto Rico, the situation that happened after the hurricane, is a perfect example of American disaster capitalism. As I mentioned once before, a friend of mine many years ago said, the American government is run by sociopaths that have no concern about anyone but the Americans who are wealthy, the American dollar. And the personal thing that I have as a New Yorker on Puerto Rico, when our dear sister Lynn Stewart first got out of prison, she was on a speaking tour in California. And one of the things she had mentioned when they asked her to speak on Puerto Rico, one of the most telling things she said to everyone was, remember, when you speak of Puerto Rico, you're talking about your neighbors in New York, your friends in New York, and your family in New York. This is our relationship with Puerto Rico. But the most exciting thing about your story, Oscar, I would like you to pick up when, after the 1914 House of Delegates voted for independence in Puerto Rico, and it was rejected by the U.S. Congress, I would like you to review your personal actions and your personal story, because I think that is something that once said, people will never forget.
Well, I arrived in Chicago when I was 14 years old in 1957, and for me, The moment that I started walking in the city of Chicago, I realized how difficult life was going to be for me. I knew that the opportunities that people were telling us in Puerto Rico that were available in the United States, it was a farce. People were being told, if you go to the United States, you can definitely make money. You can definitely find work. And when I saw the conditions that Puerto Ricans lived in Chicago, I was surprised. I never thought that, you know, that our people would be living under those conditions. The whole thing of what the United States does and especially with Puerto Rico. In 1917, the United States went to into Puerto Rico and said, well, Puerto Ricans are citizens of the United States. And the only reason that that decision was made was because the United States knew already that they were going to go into World War One, and they saw Puerto Ricans as cannon fodder. And from that moment on, thousands of